I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hope everybody's paying attention today because we have Lauren Brill calling in from Miami, and she just released a book called Unsealed to help people around the world. And so I want to welcome you to the show. Lauren, how are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Happy to be here.
I know you've been a broadcaster and been in front of the camera, and I read your story of what happened to you in New York. Tell me a little bit about how you transitioned from the front of the camera and kind of taken your passion to in this direction to speak to the world, if you will.
So while I was a sportscaster in Cleveland, I started writing a blog. I was a writer prior to my time on air. I was a writer for NBA.com. I wrote a little bit for ESPN, Nike Women. So I had a background in writing. I enjoyed writing as a child, and I did very well in school, especially in college, writing papers. So I knew I had a little bit of a knack for writing. And I started writing a blog, and I wrote a piece about my hair going curly or wearing my hair curly on air. And that went viral, and I ended up on The Michaela Show on HLN, CNN's sister network. And I wrote a piece, some social justice pieces, and those went viral. And everything I kept writing went viral. So then a friend of mine, we did a story about her. Her story was about being in an abusive relationship. Her story was really powerful, and her story went viral. And I asked her why she shared her story. And she said, it's because the silence of victims allow predators to continue their predatory behavior. So when she told me that, I really thought it was time that I shared my secret. I didn't really tell a lot of people what happened to me when I was 16 years old. I was drugged and assaulted by two strangers at a party. And I ended up writing a letter to sexual assault survivors telling them what happened and telling them basically the message was, you know, what hurts you doesn't have to hold you back. And I didn't want to just write what happened. I wanted to write it to someone because I wanted my story to have a purpose. It wasn't woe is me. It was, hey, this is what happened and this is where I am and this is what I'm doing. So don't give up in life. I wanted a message. And the letter went viral. And when the letter went viral, I mean, I had athletes on the Cleveland Browns because I was in Cleveland tweeting out, we got your back. We believe in you. We support you. The same thing happened to my mother or my sister. And I just got so much love and support from the community, the sports community, the Cleveland community, and the world, really, that I felt super empowered and I felt free and I felt liberated from the secret that I had been carrying. And I felt like it had turned into a superpower because this thing that was my secret was suddenly had a way to help people and inspire people. It was in that moment that I decided that I wanted to do something bigger with this concept and this idea. And I started my own company called The Unsealed. And when I started, I just was writing open letters for other people. So I would interview somebody and then I would ghostwrite their story for them because expecting, you know, everyone to write their own story was a little bit much. But if the same way I sought people out for a story when I was a sportscaster, I would seek people out as a writer for The Unsealed. So I would go up to someone and say, hey, you have an interesting story. Can I interview you and write your story for you? So I'd write the letter for them and then they would check it and say, hey, this is true to my voice. This is true to my story. Sometimes they'd make a few edits. Maybe I spelled their mother's name wrong, whatever it was. And then we publish it on the Unsealed. And that is now basically what has made up this book. I've interjected between each chapter my own story, but there's different stories about addiction, stories about discrimination, stories about trauma in the book. It's very diverse collection, diverse people. Some people you've heard of, Mark Cuban's brother, Brian Cuban, wrote about the challenges of being the brother of a billionaire in the sense that for a long time, he kind of said, well, what's my place in the world? Gretchen Carlson wrote a little bit about her experiences, gender discrimination throughout her career. We had people who were in prison for murder that shared their stories. So it's definitely a very, very diverse collection. Now the company, The Unsealed, has opened up so that anybody can sign up for our community and post their stories. So it's not just me ghostwriting. That was just kind of how we got started the first couple of years with ghostwriting all the stories. And one after the other went viral. I mean, our stories have gotten picked up by ESPN, New York Post, San Francisco Chronicle, ABC. So pretty much every major news outlet in the country has picked up one of the stories that I ghost wrote. So that was initially how we got off the ground. And then I was able to garner enough attention that I was able to open it up to everyone to then create a community where people share their own stories and submit them themselves.
I mean, how do you feel now after going through what you went through? I mean, what do you feel like this is doing for people? Is it a way to get this initiate, getting this off their chest and kind of releasing that energy and that pain?
Yeah, there has been a lot of studies or scientific studies at universities that are very reputable that say just the nature of holding a secret, having to hold a secret in, creates feelings of shame, creates feelings of anxiety. So just letting a secret out is a release, is relieving, is cathartic. And then writing, there's also been research, a lot of research by a professor at Penn State University. I can't think of his name right now. I did read his book though, and talk to him a bit. But the research has shown that writing out your feelings will improve your physical health, will improve your athletic performance, will make it less likely for you to catch a cold, or even sometimes people will get asthma or things like that. Some of those things are less likely. Writing actually has the power, similar power of conventional therapy, because it's a release of your feelings, a release of your emotions. So it's taking the things that are ruminating in your head and just letting them out. It's freeing yourself. So this platform is a place where people can really free themselves of the burdens that they're carrying and let go of any shame that they feel. And then people in the community, we just have a really nice community. So they get responses like, you inspire me, or I felt the same way, or you're not alone. So I think on top of having that release, they also get almost like a hug, a virtual hug from people by getting feedback that's positive and reinforcing and comforting. So I think too, when people read someone else's story, I know when I shared mine, because I shared mine before the Me Too movement. So people talking about sexual violence wasn't as prevalent. So a lot of people came back to me and said, I never told anybody this, but this is what happened to me. And when I say a lot of people, it was right down to my own mother who said to me, you know, I never really talked about it, but here are the things that happened to me. And so there are so many people that are carrying things that when you share, it kind of gives them the green light to be like, okay, this is a safe space for me to share as well. So it creates a domino effect too of, you know, this on all different topics, not just sexual violence, for people to share something and then someone else to feel safe to share as well.
Now this pain that you had, I mean, how do you think this affected your life directly?
I was so young when it happened. I was 16. I was young. I was innocent. I am sure that I am not the same person that I would have been had this not happened, for better and maybe for worse. I don't know. I don't know who I would have been had this not happened. It's so much a part of me. I mean, I'm in my late 30s and I still, like, when I'm in a dark parking lot at night, I make my boyfriend walk me. Like, I get scared still. I've learned to manage some of those things. But it's also taught me, and I tell young girls this too, that if at 16 years old, I turned around and I got into an Ivy League school and I went and achieved my dream of becoming a sportscaster, if I still did everything that I planned to do, despite something so traumatizing happening at such a young age and not knowing how to process it or deal with it, and I figured it out, there's nothing that can stop me. You know, I think that it gave me the confidence to start my business. If I could go through that at 16 years old, then my 33-year-old self can start a company. Then my 38-year-old self can build an empire. Then my, you know, 50-year-old self can do whatever the heck I want. You know, like, every version of myself I believe is stronger because it has the foundation of knowing that my 16-year-old self persevered through something really, really hard that could have gone a lot of different ways. So I think it also gave me the confidence that I'm strong and perseverant and resilient. So I think there's good and there's bad. I'm probably more anxious than the average person, but I'm also probably more of a fighter than the average person.
I talk to a lot of neuroscientists and talk about, you know, sensibilities. And I think, you know, sensibilities can go either way. It can go light or dark. And a lot of people don't know how to let that go. I mean, for some reason, because we give ourselves away through the structure of society to some extent, because when I say we give ourselves away, we don't create any value internally for ourselves. I don't think, based on the structure of society. So I think a lot of times, you know, darkness can enter through fear. And I think that's because we're giving ourselves away. Have you ever thought about anything like that, about, you know, how to try to deal with this about, you know, creating value for yourself, where maybe you don't harbor this pain as much as you would have, you know, if you had value. Because like I said, when you give yourselves away and you're hollow inside, it's easy way for it to come in. It's easier way to harbor it. You ever thought about any that kind of process?
I think, you know, I've said a lot that I would never want what happened to me to happen to anyone else. But with that said, I would never change my journey because it made me who I am. And I really like who I am. And I really like how I've been able to use what happened to me as a launching pad to help other people. I think that when trauma happens, there's a lot of different ways you can go. A lot of people talk about PTSD, but there's also something called post-traumatic growth. And 30 to 70% of people, which is obviously not a very clear number, it's a large range, but they say 30 to 70% of people who experience trauma experience post-traumatic growth, which is in some way or another, they are better, they are stronger than they were before that traumatic thing happens. The example I use for kids is if you think about a kid who maybe missed the game-winning shot at the state championship game from, you know, the top of the key or whatever, maybe that summer he practices that shot every day, 10 hours a day. And now all of a sudden that's his best shot, you know, and now he's better than he would have been had he not missed that shot. I think that happens in life too. Like we go through something hard and then we end up like almost overcompensating in some ways. We become more compassionate or become more driven. I had a lot of post-traumatic growth, and you can have post-traumatic growth and PTSD simultaneously. So you can have trauma and have, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder and also have growth at the same time. And I think it's a lot of self-awareness managing it. I also came from a really great family. I like always want to give my parents credit. Before my assault, I was just in a loving family. I was a very confident kid. I was a very good athlete. I was a good student. So I had a really, really solid foundation of confidence and love and support, which I think also helps make you more resilient and helps keep darkness out. And then my mom always used to say to me, you know, as a kid, you were one I never worried about. If you fell down in a sport, you got back up. If you got rejected by something, you always fought even harder. So I think there's also something internally in me that just drives me, even with when I'm scared to walk in parking lots, which I still am, but it's manageable now. It was not manageable at first. I would get so scared that I would cry from walking alone at night. Even on my college campus, I would get back to my dorm room if I walked alone at night and just cry from all the stress and anxiety I felt walking alone. What helped me is my dreams were stronger than my fears. I wanted to be a sportscaster. You can't be a sportscaster and not walk in a parking lot at night because games are at night. I had to be able to get from the arena to my car at night. My dreams were stronger than my fears. And I pushed myself. And you know, some nights I was able to ask someone to walk me and some nights I wasn't. And I wanted the dream more than I was willing to give into the fear. So I think that's part of it too. So it's a personal journey for everyone. I think everyone has a different way that they can, a motivation to block out the darkness. Maybe someone has children and they want to be better for their children. But mine was my dreams, my family, my internal drive that helped me push out darkness.
When do you realize you can handle it? You know, because I think, you know, I think there's a lot of people, like you said, 37%. A lot of people can internalize things. They have a very strong mindset. They have something innate in them. Let's say you don't have that innate drive in you, or just the fear is overwhelming, right? Because there are a few that are going to be out there that have this overwhelming fear. What would you say would be the first step? You know, I realize you write the open letters, but is there anything outside of the open letter or thought process you would give somebody that may be extremely fearful, have high anxiety?
Yeah, my advice would be to give yourself grace. Healing doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen with one letter. Usually people write after they've healed a little bit. It's almost like for me, writing my letter was the finality more of my healing. It's when I became stop being a victim, stop being a survivor, and it's when I became a fighter. So I think giving yourself grace, I took a really long time to even process what happened to me, to really admit like this actually happened. So healing doesn't happen overnight, and it's okay to be on your own watch and your own timetable. Not everyone, I didn't wake up the next morning and say, I was raped, I should go to the police, I should do this. I was like, what the F just happened? And I was like, let me tuck this away and put this somewhere else and keep on moving. And it took me time to really unravel and unwrap what had happened to me, how it affected me, and what I wanted to do with that energy. I think it starts with giving yourself grace and letting yourself feel. And when you want to talk, talk. Also, figure out what your coping mechanism is. It may not be writing. You may like to paint. You may like to sing. You may like to lock yourself in the room and listen to music. Whatever it is, find a way to express yourself and find what makes you feel peaceful and relaxed and lets you heal. So give yourself grace and find your own healing path.
You think a lot of times that a lot of people bury certain things because they don't like the truth. Why do we not want to face the truth about ourselves or about someone else?
That simple. From my own experience and what I've read about trauma is sometimes the brain tucks things away as a.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Way to protect yourself. I wasn't keeping a secret for a long time. It was just, I couldn't process it. That's the only way I can explain it. I had to walk myself through of saying, okay, well, I wasn't conscious. And then when I was conscious, I kept saying no, but I could barely speak because I was so sedated that I couldn't even like speak barely. I was whispering the word no with at my very best, but I had to literally walk myself through time and time again and tell myself what happened to be like, that's rape. Like this plus this equals rape. This plus this equals sexual assault. This plus this is not okay. Trauma is shocking to the brain. You know, it's shocking, and the brain doesn't always process it. Especially children. This is especially true. And I was 16, which is, you know, you're not quite a child, but you're not quite an adult. When they look at children, like, you know, younger, eight, they don't process it sometimes for 30 years. The brain tucks it away. If you research diseases like, it used to be called multiple personality disorders, and now it has a different name. That disease is a response to trauma, childhood trauma, severe trauma. So it's the brain's response. So I don't think that people don't want to admit the truth or face it. I just think that their brain is reacting in a very human way to protect themselves, because our brains aren't built to be happy. They're built to survive. So it's a survival mechanism. And I think when your brain is like ready and you reach a time in your life where you just can't hold it in anymore and your brain is ready to process it, it comes out. And for me, that was, you know, 9-10 years later.
I kind of get frustrated with a system because I talk about things like the non-conscious, you know, the non-conscious, and, you know, science stops at the non-conscious. Right. And then because they don't allow philosophy or intuitiveness to be part of your life. And I think if they can redefine that and make people understand that your subconscious, you know, you're born a non-conscious, that's what's in you. You're put in an environment. You know, if you leave the emotions out of that, you understand what innately is in you, you can predict where that person is going with no emotion. But once that emotion starts to be programmed, you know, through your subconscious, I think there's better. What I'm saying is, I think there's a better way to define that, to be preventative. So if trauma does happen to you, you may have a little different mindset, you know, because people don't understand how strong, especially being a young person, you know, you become 25, 30 years old, that anxiety you had in the parking lot is your unconscious bias responding to that programming of your subconscious of when you were younger. Do you think there's a way to be, you know, to kind of explain the process a little better?
To be more proactive, you're saying?
Making people understand how things are programmed at certain periods of your life. You know, so if trauma does happen, you can anticipate this because there's really nothing out there that is preventative.
You can't prevent trauma, period, right? Like my parents couldn't prevent me from like living life and being out in the world. So you can't prevent trauma. But I do think there's been research that, you know, if you have a more sturdy childhood and more an open dialogue with your parents or in your home life, you're more likely to have to be able to be resilient through trauma. I do think there's a genetic component to it, too. I do think some people are more resilient, but there's so many things that, you know, so many experiences we have that can, you know, create whatever our recipe is for who we become. So I do think it's a sum of a lot of experiences. Do I think there's like one way to make sure someone's resilient through trauma? I don't think anything's a guarantee. We're each individuals. We all have our own individual experience. I'm not a neuroscientist. I speak from more my own experience and then my reading online. But I do think, like, you know, if you build a solid foundation for a person, it's a lot harder to knock them down, right? So if somebody has a lot rockier foundation, they don't have a home life, or their parents are drug addicts, or their parents never said, I love you, then something happens and it can be really catastrophic. Whereas if a child comes from a home where the mother says, I love you every day, and they have food on the table and they don't worry about things and there's a lot of support, I think if something happens, there's less of a chance that it's catastrophic and it's something that they can work their way through. So I don't think there's like one way to prevent it, but I do think having a solid foundation in life, having a solid support system, having a positive environment, you know, makes it more likely. I read something about resilience that said, if you have three times as many positive experiences in the day to negative ones, you are more likely to be resilient. So if you think about like filling a cup, if we fill a cup with more water, if we lose a little water, we'll still have a lot of water. But if we only have a little water in the cup and then we lose some water, we're empty, right? So if you constantly fill up that positivity and create a solid foundation, when something does, you know, hit you, you'll be more resilient against it, as opposed to if you're just surrounded by negativity and then something comes at you, it's a lot harder to deal with.
There's only one quantum field. So if you understand there's only one quantum field, you know, I can pretty much eliminate any biases that you may have. So I guess what I'm saying is, I mean, and just to give you a little background on me, is I talk to neuroscientists from all over the world, from Gail Joe, he's at Cambridge, you know, a lot of very intellectual people. And I'm a clairsentient as well. So I can feel things, I can feel a room. But I did this video about one quantum field. And, you know, when you talk about this time of the year and talking about how everybody's connected, I guess what I'm saying is, if the community, if the medical community, whoever it is, would define the structure of what people, when someone's born, and how, you know, processes of life can affect you, would be preventative. It's not necessarily preventing trauma. Trauma will happen. But if you understand how your body functions from the time you're born and what you digest, I'm saying everybody's connected on one quantum field. So this, like during this, the holidays, you feel spirit, you feel the goodness, because everybody's connected, you know. So if we care, what I'm saying is just understanding that piece of the puzzle, if we carry this attitude through the whole year, we could feel that the whole year. I'm just on this big kick of, you know, we're on one quantum field. It needs to be explained better. You know, science needs to let, you know, when intuitiveness and philosophy is one third of law of attraction, that needs to be put out in the world. You know, that's when we have law of attraction. I'm just talking about, and this is pretty deep, but these are things I try to unearth. So I try to apply it to, you know, your circumstance and what you're doing. But I think knowledge is power from the beginning, if that makes sense.
I'm not a medical professional, and I've done no studies on any of this. I only speak from personal experience and from what I've seen. But with that said, you know, I was a sportscaster, right? You get a concussion, mm-hmm. you could get 10 concussions and be perfectly fine. And someone else could get 10 concussions and have CTE or have Parkinson's or Parkinson's-like symptoms or Lou Gehrig's disease, whatever it is. So what that tells me, why I say that is because just like physically, like something can happen and people have a different response, I think emotionally that happens too. Not everyone has the same exact response to the same exact circumstances. We are all genetically built just a little bit differently. So I think it's hard to say like X happens and Y is going to happen. I think there's some broad like generalizations they can make. You know, if X happens, this person will probably feel somewhere in the range of Y, right? But I don't think it's as simple as like if X happens and A is going to happen and you can describe the exact circumstance. So I think that the medical community and that the community of mental health is really built around diversity and the diversity of experiences and the diversity of responses to those experiences. And it's built on some generalizations, some commonalities. But at the end of the day, if you get hit in the head, you're more likely to get CTE, but it's no guarantee. You could be perfectly fine, right? Like, so there's no, with physical health or mental health, there's no necessarily like concrete action and consequence. And that's just my opinion. This isn't my area of expertise. I'm just somebody who likes to interview people and write.
You know, that's the Newtonian effect. You know, if you have something innately in you and there's a way of life and there's a structure to periods of your life, if you can put the knowledge in people's hands.
Yeah.
About
self-awareness is a great thing. Yeah. And I myself did a lot of research about the effects of sexual assault on someone. I mean, I remember when I was 24 years old, I went on RAIN, his website, RAINN.org. And it's a website it's a nonprofit for sexual violence survivors. And I looked at all the long-term side effects for people who are survivors. And I crossed off each one until I didn't have any. Like I really researched it and really was very conscious about that. So I think having information and knowledge in any field of life, whatever you do, whatever you are experiencing is always valuable, right? Like if you have an issue with addiction, knowing what helps other people is always helpful because then you can try it and see if it works for you. So I think, knowledge, the more knowledge we have, the more information we have about what we're facing, the adversity we're facing and the opponent we're up against, more tools we'll have to try and fight it.
And what is your ultimate goal with Unsealed?
So it's The Unsealed is the company and the book is called Unseal Your Superpowers. So my ultimate goal is to just help as many people as possible create a huge library of stories and place for people to feel safe to interact and share and encourage each other. It's really a community about love and positivity. Everyone's welcome. And hopefully we can open people's minds, open people's hearts. Hopefully it helps people see humanity in everyone. If we can see humanity in everyone, I think we'll be kinder to people who maybe look different than us or people who have different experiences than us. Maybe, you know, maybe after this interview, you're more likely to ask a woman, hey, do you want me to walk you to your car at night? Because you're more aware of just someone else's feelings. You know, I've dated a lot of guys who are like 6'5" and like super athletic and they're totally not scared to walk in a parking lot at night. So they're almost surprised that I am because it's not their lived experience. But once they're aware of my experiences, they're like, oh yeah, no problem. I'll walk you, right? Like they get it then. So a lot of times we're just not aware of other people's, the lens in which other people see the world and feel the world and experience. But when we share, we are more likely to become more compassionate and understanding and help each other. So I hope with each story, people heal themselves and inspire someone else and also educate people on how to help each other. And from a personal note, I would like to do more books. A lot of the books we do, this one I wrote in full. I ghost wrote all the letters, but we do a lot of other books where I take letters from the community that the people submitted and I turn them into anthologies. They still own the copyright. They just give us a license to put it in the book. And they give us their permission and we create books that way too. I also would like to one day do a show based on some of these incredible stories and people's spoken word and their hearts, sharing people's hearts with the world, making sure everyone feels like they have a voice and that their story matters. So just keep growing the company and using as many different media platforms as we can, whether it be digital, book publishing, or maybe one day streaming.
You talked about your mother earlier. Where are your roots from? where are you originally from and where'd you grow up?
Yeah, I grew up just outside New York City, Rockland County. Both my parents are from New York City. My dad's from the Bronx and my mother is from Queens. And they both moved to Rockland County when they were about 12, 13 years old. And they met in their 20s. And that's where they raised my brother and I.
Now, are you Italian?
Jewish.
Ashkenazi. What part of the world? Italian.
A lot of people think I'm Italian. Yeah, My mother looks Italian.
What part of the world is the family originally from?
So I have 8 great grandparents from 8 different countries that all met here. So they all left, you know, before the Holocaust. They all met here in New York City. Came here pretty young. My family's been here, so I'm at least fourth generation at least. So it's a whole bunch of different countries. 8 different ones. I don't even know all of them, to be honest. I know like 6 of them, but they all met here.
Now, after being in Miami, do you miss New York any?
I love Miami. No, I love New York too. Do I miss New York? I go back a lot. You know, I was just there for 2 months. Someone asked me to call some Princeton soccer games. I was a soccer player. So I was like, okay, I'll work from New York for a couple months. My parents still have a place in New Jersey. They're back and forth between New Jersey and Florida. So I was able to stay there. So I was there for 2 months. In the fall, I'm probably going to go back at the end of the month. So I still go there a lot, but I love the beach and the weather and the water. And, you know, my apartment has a view of water and it's amazing. So I love that.
Nice. So if we want to get the book, where we get the book at?
It's on Amazon and on Barnes and Noble's website. On Amazon, you just look up Unseal Your Superpowers by Lauren Brill and it's on there. And if they want to check out the website, it's theunsealed.com. And if they have any questions, they can email me, lauren@theunsealed.com. But yeah, the book is Unseal Your Superpowers. They can look it up on Barnes & Noble or on Amazon, and it will be there.
Awesome. Well, Lauren, I appreciate you coming on the show. And hopefully our conversation can teach people about what you do and maybe help them in their life.
Yes.
And I don't know if there's anything else that you want to put out into the world, but hopefully we covered everything.
Just if somebody has a story they want to share, check out theunsealed.com. It's a great place to share it. You'll get love.
But I think it's a great project and an excellent vision from you. And this has been Lauren Brill, and I am John Edmonds Cosma, the CEO of Bang Productions. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.